Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Okay, you ready? Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, April the 3rd, 102nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisorette out of the 2nd, Estelle Fennell. Good afternoon, lady.
Good afternoon, Brian. Hey, How goes it?
Did you see that somebody put graffiti on your vehicle?
When?
It says,
on April 1st.
It says Fennell, 2012. I would think at least you'd put a 3 on the last two there. I don't know.
Okay, well,
but you were concerned, weren't you, that somebody had gotten to it?
First of all, it's fennel.
Did I say fennel? I'm sorry.
I don't care if what year, just say fennel.
Yeah.
I've got to train you.
Woof, woof.
Good boy.
So you don't care about the year. Well, I thought maybe it was a collectible then.
Yeah, absolutely it's a collectible.
We got a couple different things to talk about today. Marijuana, surprise, surprise, planting season, growing season, zoning ordinances. Last Friday, we talked with Rick Martin a little bit about air quality. He's seeing that pop up there also, so we'll talk a little bit about all those things. And also, we've got the general plan, we've got labor issues, we've got all kinds of fun stuff. We'll save that for the second half of the show, just to keep you enticed. Estelle Fennell, when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Gary Player, kind of doing a countdown to the Masters. Quote, golf is a puzzle without an answer. I played the game for 40 years and I still haven't the slightest idea how to play. Yeah, ain't that the truth? Kind of like politics, I would think, huh?
Well, yeah.
You starting to learn how to play?
I think I have to. You know, it feels pretty comfortable, actually. So we'll see how it goes. I'm one of these newbies, but...
Yeah, but you played the game.
Yes.
You played the game for a while before you ran.
Yeah, I think I can understand people.
Yeah. What's the biggest surprise so far?
The biggest surprise? I don't know that I am surprised by anything at this point.
No nice surprises? No disappointment surprises?
Well, a nice surprise is actually how comfortable it feels, you know, because you go for it. You are very dedicated to your vision of what you want to have happen. You get elected. You've got 6 months to sit around and wonder, what are you going to do? And in my case, anyhow, the very first day sitting in there, I go, oh, yeah, this is exactly what I want to do. This is exactly where I want to be. And that was a nice surprise. And, of course, another nice surprise is how wonderful the people are who work in the office with me.
Well, that's a severe kiss-up. What's that about?
Because I do. Remember I said, who work in the office with me?
Yeah, with, not for, not against.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, with, yeah. So as long as they agree on the outcome, they're a wonderful staff.
Yeah, and they're in the office, remember?
In the office only.
There's a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Not so nice.
What about the others? The other, I guess we should probably say the other five. Including Mystery Man Phil. I'm just going to start banging on him until he actually does show up.
Oh, okay.
And do one of these. It's been over a year, so. You surprised with the personalities and how they play together in the sandbox?
Well, that's a great question. Let's see. I kind of had an idea of where people's main direction was, but getting to know them, getting to know the personalities is really interesting. And I can think that's part of learning how to play. It's getting to know each other and how do you do that. And I think for the most part, we work pretty well together. You know, one of the things we did early on was we had a workshop, and I know that it sounded like it was going to be horrible, and it kind of had a strange feeling to it. But out of it came this at least dedication to at least pretending to listen to each other.
That was the Kumbaya
attention.
Grape
That's nuts. Exactly, yeah. And we do.
Event,
we do listen to each other. Once in a while, you'll get a little snippy thing back and forth. But for
I would think
part,
that's healthy.
It is.
Have a snap snarl every once in a while. Just cuz.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Otherwise, if you're all on the same page, everybody wonders what the hell's going on with these guys.
Yeah, yeah. Who's doing what behind the scenes to make it happen? Do the others understand the peculiarities in the second? And do you understand, let's say, Ryan's challenges on the reservation or by the square? Some of those things that really, I mean, if you drove it, it's what, a 3-hour, 4-hour difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could be in different states in some part of the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Does everybody kind of understand the idiosyncrasies and curiosities about each other's areas?
Well, I think that's this particular board, I would say you're going to find more and more that we understand because you've got strong representatives in every district. And so you get a little, everybody's making the pitch for the certain issues that are important to them, or at least remembering their constituents when they make a vote. So in that regard, you get to know it a little bit more. Rex and I, of course, are rural southern, but he's got a slice of the city. And that part, I get pretty well cut in that area, Humboldt Hill. And then, of course, I pretty much understand what the 3rd District is. It's Arcata and Blue Lake. 5th District, I'm getting to know a little bit more. I've been up in McKinleyville quite a bit in Trinidad. Haven't been up to Oric and Willow Creek that much, but I certainly look forward to it because I think that there are a lot of similarities between the 5th and the 2nd District. We're, you know, unincorporated for the most part.
Or just the heat.
And the heat, definitely.
You know, there's a lot of those types of things that would make it somewhat similar.
Yeah, and people who want to be recognized, people who want to be seen to have good ideas and be involved. And so I like that about the 5th as well.
All the influence, perceived, self-important influence people, like me. Yeah. Yeah, suffer through once a month, and we'll just kind of take it with a grain of salt. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, some of the different challenges that are out there, you'd mentioned staff, that you've got a good staff, and that was a pleasant surprise for you.
Mm-hmm.
What were you expecting?
I didn't know, to be honest with you. I didn't really have an understanding of what is behind that curtain, so to speak. I didn't understand what a wonderful role that the clerk and the administrative assistant and the assistant clerk make. What there really are, like the nuts and bolts of the public record and all that, and they're wonderful to work with. So it's been great.
Keep you on your toes, huh?
Well, yeah. Well, they're great. I mean, they're just, you know, there's a lot that goes on to this the finished product that you get every single Tuesday and beyond. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that is not hidden. It's just the process, you know, printing out those agendas, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, I've talked to a couple of folks over the years when they were first in the saddle, and they were surprised, I think, with the amount of time. Not the time, normal time, but time spent traveling from A to B, mm-hmm. accumulative. Time spent on the weekends doing this and doing that. The 7 day a week, I guess, not a surprise, but element to mm-hmm. the job and the fatigue associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance?
Well, there is a certain amount of fatigue, I'll tell you, because I do a lot of traveling, a lot. I am in Eureka most often Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm in Fortuna and Garberville Thursday, then back in Eureka on Friday. There's usually some event or more than one on the weekend, so there's a lot of traveling. There can be fatigue if you overbook, and I've done that a little bit on occasion because I can't help myself. I mean, I really love being involved, and I love working with people in the district. I get excited when it seems like I can help, and I don't mind traveling and making those kind of things happen. But yeah, I'm telling you, I sleep well at night.
Sleep, that's a concept.
Yeah, it doesn't last for very long, but wow, does it go well.
Yeah, when I'm there, man, it's really kind of fun. How do you, I would imagine, do you have somebody that you have in confidence to go, okay, when is it too much? Because like you said, I mean, there's always events, always people, always things you can be doing. You know, we haven't had a nasty weather season. Throw that into the mix, you know, of those different challenges
Earthquakes.
That can occur and you can't really schedule to those things. How many hours a week do you allow yourself to be an elected? And how many hours a week do you say, my time?
Well, much more being an elected than I'd say sleep time is my time at this point. And, you know, in the evening, once I get home, usually I'll be studying something or other. But generally speaking, I do try to take at least a few hours somewhere in the weekend where I can, you know, just kind of go out and go for a walk or that.
Say
kind of
that
thing.
One more time for any perspectives. A few hours a weekend.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, it's a full-time job if you want to do it right, in my view. And I'll
full-time isn't 40 hours.
No, it's not. No. No, it's
full-time's like 80?
Yeah, right. At least.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, when you look at others, I mean, Cliff was there for four. Roger was there for longer. I don't know who you used as your mentor during this process. Do they have good separation between private time and public time? Or do they also just kind of go until they drop?
Looking back?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm just going to let that one go. What's done is done.
Okay.
Some people have different approaches. And I think, you know, I won't talk about my immediate predecessor, but I'll talk about
The work patterns.
Yeah, the
work schedules
Yeah, I think I'm more of a meeting gal than a, you know, hang out at the bar or whatever. But I think that generally speaking, whatever you're doing, if that's how you do your job, so long as you're meeting people, addressing their concerns, that's a good thing. Returning their phone calls, answering their emails, and following through. That's the thing. The more issues that come across your plate, fine with the first answer. Now, are you going to follow through? And are the people that you've contacted to get some information about them going to follow through? And that takes quite a bit of logistical balancing.
That's what I was going to follow up with, is with the more you do, the more you're exposed, the more mm-hmm. you're exposed, the more issues that are there, the mm-hmm. more issues that are there, the more you have commitments to follow up with. Mm-hmm. And then you got the more notes. And I'm okay right up to the more notes part. And then mm-hmm. I kind of have a tendency either to forget,
mm-hmm.
or see an email 3 weeks ago,
right.
Scramble mode as you have the flares going up right now, the unanticipated today moment things.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where the staff helps? Do you lean on the,
yes,
them to help coordinate some of that stuff?
And well, yeah, and a lot of it is your own personal work style, too. You know, remember I was in the news for a long time, and so I had a lot of that kind of thing happening. So I have separate notebooks for this office, that office, the other office, emails I mark when I've followed them up. And, yes, things will fall through the cracks, and that's when I'm hoping people get back to me and go, hey, I was expecting you to call me.
Help
what
me
happened?
Out to help you out.
Yeah, exactly.
Rattle the cage every once in a while.
And I will say, this, and I mean, it's early on, but it seems to me that as we move forward, and I bring, you know, this issue, that issue, the other issue to the planning director, that over time we'll learn to work together so we don't have to do it every time.
It's 3:30.
Decade of Difference presents a brand new competition, Innovate, a business challenge opportunity to pitch your creative idea. First step, upload a 60 to 90 second elevator pitch highlighting your business venture idea by March 29th. 40 finalists will be selected to move on to phase two. But don't wait. First 100 entries receive a free iTunes gift card. To upload your video and get more information, visit decadeofdifference.org. A grand prize of up to $2,500 will be awarded. Don't wait. Innovate.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County 2nd District Supervisorette Estelle Fennell. Estelle, marijuana certainly is a critical economic component to our area. It's a critical tourism, if you buy into that line of logic, for our area. It has significant impact in the cultural of our area. Do you think we manage marijuana well?
That's a Brian question. take it out of the field. Okay, there are certain aspects to managing it. I'm not 100% sure, but let me just go with, okay, first of all, as a county, what do we have to do? We have to, there's very little we have to do with it. We already created an ordinance. Now we have created an ordinance for indoor marijuana, and now there's at least a suggestion that we do one for outdoor marijuana growing as a land use issue. Have we managed that? How do we manage that? There's a law enforcement component to it. How do we manage the fact that it's so widespread? How do we manage the fact that it's legal in the state and illegal at a federal level? How do we manage the fact that it's legal for medicinal purposes but not for recreation? And on and on and on. There's a lot of aspects to it, and it's very complex. But I think probably a big challenge that comes up for people a lot in Humboldt County is that, you know, it is a recognized fact that it brings a lot of money into the county. And yet that money is illegal because, after all, the medical marijuana law is for medicinal marijuana, period.
Well, and the revenue that's brought in is also untaxed.
Exactly.
So a lot of the...
Unless it's, you know...
if you buy it at the retail store.
Retail,
okay,
yeah.
You're paying sales tax, but the county doesn't get hardly a piece of that. But you see the property tax and the
property
impact
taxes,
with that.
Yeah.
Well, if they're on public land...
Nothing.
Well, it's not going to happen. And, you know, the sheriff costs, et cetera. It's interesting for me as I look at it. I recognized, as I think a lot of folks do, there's the old hippie growing it for themselves. Thank you very much. You know, kumbaya. Then you got the other end where you've got the criminal element coming in and doing the plantations.
Absolutely.
And bringing in folks and just kind of, you know, chaining them to a tree kind of thing and said, take care of this and we'll see you when we do, or if we do. And then everybody in between, the medicinal thing, I think, is more of a smokescreen, I think, for most. But looking at it and the costs of marijuana to our local culture, I think are horrific. And I don't know if we'll ever be able to put a handle on what that really does cost. But when you got kids not going to school, when you got the drug element on drug element and the break-ins and all that kind of stuff, and just, you know, you look and the retail settings in our area, the lack of other jobs because nobody's motivated enough because they're making the money on this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have an answer on this one, but I'm trying to come to grips with what is the cost of marijuana to Humboldt County.
I think that's
It's like playing with mercury.
It's a very good question, though. You know, it really is, and I very much appreciate it. Right now, we have an ordinance in front of us, as I mentioned, and in the staff report, it says that the reason we want to look at this ordinance is because we're seeing egregious environmental damage, for instance. And, of course, that's one thing that gets everybody up and working is environmental damage. So you've got grading, you've got people taking water out of the watershed, you've got poisons in the watershed, et cetera, et cetera. And then so it's proposed to create an ordinance that would register marijuana. That just doesn't make sense to me. The bottom line is there are a myriad of environmental regulations out there that could and should be enforced.
It's more of an enforcement of existing rather than additional tiering of more stuff.
I just don't see where, you know, and again, I have to be careful about this because I do want to hear from the community and I have an open mind. Maybe we want to do something when we look at this that will in some way make things better. But in my view, at least, creating another law is not going to do it. What's going to do it is an attitude that says we've got to take care of this.
Yeah, I think that, there's on all kinds of different levels. I had a buddy, business acquaintance, who came in from the Midwest a couple weeks ago. She hadn't heard about the turkey bags. I said, honest to God, looks on the cell phone. There it is, mm-hmm. You know, with a pound of marijuana inside and speechless from Ohio. Just absolutely, okay, fine. Then she wanted to see a dispensary. What does this look like? She wanted to drive by and look at one of these legalized places selling marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, if this is the impression that we have out throughout the rest, as California, throughout the rest of the country, and then as Humboldt County, throughout the rest of the country, how well are we managing marijuana? Mm-hmm. That really becomes a whole different perspective. And how many families aren't coming here for their travels? How many businesses aren't locating here because of some of these things that are associated with this particular industry? I suppose you could say the same thing with pulp mills or coal mines or anything else, but we don't see marijuana in that same light.
No, and especially with the what I would call the industrialization of marijuana, where you have large, you know, whether they're cartels or whatever, going out into the national forest, making the forests unattractive to those very tourists that we want to attract. It's kind of difficult, you know. So hopefully that has gotten enough attention now that we'll somehow be able to deal with it. I certainly would like to see that happen.
Well, when Discovery Channel decides to run two or three special series on trails in the woods in Northern California instead of marijuana farms in Northern California, we might have turned the corner. KINS News and buy that one, huh? KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, some of the different challenges that are out there, whether it's cultural perceptions, reality, structures, things of that nature. You mentioned having ordinances for marijuana farms, which obviously makes no sense at all because the farm concept is illegal. Marijuana nationally is illegal. Well, it's still supposed to be in the backyard, one or two plants, I think, for the medicinal, which is, I guess, a whole other cottage industry. These guys writing off these licenses left and right for $100 or two. I heard the going price is now 2.25. It's come down a little bit.
Okay. What did it used to be?
I heard as high as $350.
Oh. Well.
Yeah. So now it's not quite as bad. So maybe that means your headache doesn't have to be quite so headachy. But if we're trying to get Humboldt County to be structured, we're trying to get the general plan in place, we're trying to get land use issues, obviously marijuana is in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't be in there.
No, it can't.
So,
no. No, this is the thing that I've said before, and in fact, it kind of concerned me before I was on the board, and it still concerns me now, but I think we should be able to deal with it a little differently. It just surprises me to even see an official body discussing the economics of marijuana, which are all illegal. And so the bottom line is it's illegal at this point on the federal level, which means that if we bring out anything that codifies it as an ordinance, we are running the risk of being sued either by the government, the federal government, or by the patients, or, you know,
state?
You name it.
Or if it's not done right, then the state will come down on you.
I mean, why would you go in that direction?
Why bother?
Yeah, I mean, to me, if people want it legalized, go to Washington, D.C. and talk with Mr. Obama.
What have our electeds done? Has the new congressman come out in favor of legalization or not? Is Feinstein, is Boxer? Those are our three feds that are in the area.
I seem to remember, and I seem to remember when there was a discussion about it in the campaign, that Congressman Huffman showed some interest in legalization. Yeah.
Of course, it hasn't gotten a whole lot of traction in a whole lot of the states, and you need, what, 39?
Yeah.
So I think that's probably going to be more holding our breath for a really, really long period.
Well, look at what happened. I mean, look at what's happening in Washington State. The Attorney General, Eric Holder, is saying he's not going to be satisfied with it unless they can guarantee that not one stem of marijuana leaves Washington State.
Whoops.
That's going to be kind of difficult.
Takes care of that one. Yeah.
And in Colorado, I heard this at a workshop the other day. The main focus is on growing indoors in Colorado. So, you know.
Wait, it's tough to grow it in a snowbank. I understand.
Okay.
What about some of the different challenges about, I have the perception that a segment of that society is hiding behind marijuana as being anarchist, as being anti-development, you've got them, you know, with the Richardson's Grove gang.
Mm-hmm.
With your interactions, because I'm sure you've had a whole lot more than what I've had, do you get frustration from the various segments that others are using it to hide behind, whether it's the criminal hiding behind the legalization or the drug, you know, the 215 folks being used in a different context than what they are as their primary focus? Is there any of that kind of internal strife going on?
You know, I just don't understand your question.
Do the 215 growers,
mm-hmm,
are those who are in support of legalization, the plantation, the criminal growers,
yes.
hiding behind 215 and saying, we need more people, more licenses for 215 so that then we can grow, our grow can be legalized, or let the cops deal with those guys and we'll be over here taking care of business.
Yeah.
Kind of
Well, there is an aspect, you know, there was a discussion in the about this proposed ordinance or this at least item of
discussion.
That, you know, if people were registered and therefore they had all the legal permission from the county, whatever, they were on the books, that then the the bad guys who didn't register would be easier to catch. And I just, you know, and then there's, it's also based on complaint. It's complaint driven. So you could have your little registration, but your neighbor says, I think he's probably not got registration. So then you call and they go through their books or whatever and see whether or not you are registered. But it's complaint driven.
It seems like it needs to be figured out how we're going to deal with this.
No kidding.
I mean, as a high priority.
Yes.
One of the, maybe even one of the segments of the local economy, the prosperity
thing. Prosperity 2012, yeah. Yeah, yeah, they were, they actually discussed it as part of the discussion at one of the
right up there with organic dairy. All right. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.